Today I'm going to do something that I have never, ever done before. Share the Sunday morning teachings time with somebody else. Now, to be fair, I got to tell you, Miss Donna has been after me to do this for years with her to share. And my response has always been the same. I don't know how to do that. I said, I don't know how to. I know how to go into my study, shut myself away, hear from God, study the Word of the Lord, put it together in a message form. My messages are all written out by pencil. That way I can erase a lot. I know you think I don't erase a lot, but I do. And then Rhonda types them up, and then you go over them a gazillion times between then and Sunday, and then they're in your spirit. And you, I know how to do it that way. I don't know how to get up here and share the time with somebody. And Donna said to me, Joel, it's really quite simple. Donna said, you talk for a little bit, and then you sit down and you shut up. So, when I felt the Lord nudging me that the Sunday after the business meeting, I really felt the Lord nudging me that this would be a Sunday that both of us should share the pulpit time, the teaching time. I had the same argument with God. I said, God, I don't know how to do this. And God said, it's really quite simple, Joel. You're ahead of me on this. God said clearly, just talk for a little bit, sit down, and shut up. You know, I've been thinking about that. Why is it that often God's voice sounds like our wives' voice? Do I have a witness from any men in the house? Come on, men, help me out! We're going to talk today about you getting a new pastor. And please, don't be hesitant to somehow think this is hurtful for Joel and Donna Stocker. It's not. About 6 weeks ago, Josh Sleeper, where are you at? About 6 weeks ago, Josh was helping me get a car out of storage. And we were chatting for a little bit. And he looked at me and he said, Pastor, don't be offended, he said. But I got to tell you, Christy and I are really looking forward to Keith and Lacey being our new pastors. And I said, I'm not offended with that. That's what this is all about. I have repeatedly said that, first of all, I want to finish well. I've done a study on this in the Bible. Of major leaders of God's people in the Scripture, I'm even hesitant to tell you this. About 25% finish well. And 75% don't. I want to be in the 25%, not the 75%. Amen. Secondly, repeatedly told the congregation and told the board, I'm after a seamless transition. That's more than just words. I want this transition to be so seamless that you can't hardly look and find a seam in it. I think it was the Sunday that you preached on September 18th. That was that 10 things I love about CCC. After the service, I went down, second service, I believe it was, and I was talking with a gentleman in our congregation who was holding his grandbaby. This man said something to me that, in my opinion, is the most profound thing I have heard during this whole ordeal. Nobody said anything that's been deeper or stronger or witnessed more to me than this. He looked at me, and here's what he said. He said, transition in the church reveals if this is all about man or all about God. And then he got a smile that came across his face, and he said, I think we're about to see that CCC is all about God.
Amen.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Well, last Sunday was a historical day here at CCC. After 2 months of carefully guiding transition, 2 weeks of fasting and prayer, you selected Keith and Lacey Grable to be the next senior pastors of this congregation. And your selection was incredibly strong, for which I'm very thankful. Let me tell you why. Going on 31 years ago, I candidated for this church's pastoral position. The vote, right on the nose, 2/3. Had there been one vote less, I would have said goodbye and I would have went back to Minnesota. The Constitution and bylaws calls for 2/3 of a vote. I was voted to serve this congregation by one vote. Last Sunday, there were 500 of you that voted for the new pastor. 495 said, we agree with the church board, they should be our new pastors. That's a 99% vote. That tells me we've made some progress in the last 30 years. Let me tell you something. That progress is very, very important for this reason. The blessings of God come through unity.
Amen.
Would you say that with me? The blessings of God come through unity. Oh, say it like you mean it. The blessings of God come through unity. Let me support that. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is there that the Lord bestows his blessings. The King James Version says, when you and I get in unity, when we all get in unity, the King James Version says, God commands his blessing in that place. Colossians 3. As chosen people, as God's chosen people, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive, and over all of this, put on love. Why? Because love will bind you together. Notice what God wants here. God wants perfect unity, not just some kind of unity. He wants perfect unity. Make every effort. Make every effort to keep the unity of God's Spirit, capital S, among you. And finally, Romans 15. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. I want to appeal to everyone who calls Christian Celebration Center their church home, including 5 people who voted no last Sunday. I have no issues with that. There may be some of you who weren't even here last Sunday. You didn't cast a vote. I don't know. I am saying, for the sake of God's blessing upon this place, I appeal for all of you in the spirit of unity to embrace the selection of this body. I'm going to sit down and shut up. But how did you feel about last Sunday, about the vote, and just talk to us about it?
Yeah, the last Sunday's vote and our time together as a church was just profoundly humbling for us. And it's really the culmination of the last 4 years when Pastor Joel and Donna initially talked with Lacey and I about the potentiality of following them as the next pastors. We've been looking back at all of God's faithfulness all along the way. I mean, day after day, week after week, month after month, with our questions or our concerns or our wondering, curiosity, God just continually answered those and brought us through the process to get us to a place where we were all together in unity last Sunday morning. You know, as I look back in these 4 years, I see that God was teaching us a lot about you all as a congregation. I think that every a year that we've been here, we've been here for 7.5 years, that our respect level just keeps going up as we see all of you in action. People that seek God, and I really want to know God's will. And so coming in last Sunday, Lacey and I had a really strong peace in our hearts. And I really felt like the Lord spoke to me that I needed to enjoy the day. Because the first time I'd ever been voted on, hopefully the last time, and it's kind of a unique experience. I mean,
you better hope it's the last time, let me tell you.
I don't even think I was voted on for student council or anything, you know what I'm saying? I don't have a shot, so I mean, why even try? But yes, last week was very unique for us and for our family, sitting there in the front row, but there was such a peace in our hearts. But it wasn't because we knew the outcome of the vote. I mean, there was a question mark there. There was a peace in our heart because we knew that God's will was going to be accomplished, whatever that might be. Psalm 138 says, "The Lord will fulfill his purposes for me." And I would like to encourage you to grab hold of that promise for yourself and whatever you're going through right now. Because this promise is in the context of humility and lowering ourselves, being poor in spirit. Jesus says we're blessed when we do that. And as we surrender ourselves to him, we get off the throne and let him be on the throne, you can bank on it that God will fulfill his purposes for you. In your marriage, in your situations, as you're looking toward the future, he's going to fulfill his purposes for you. And so we were confident coming in last week. Hey, we didn't know what the outcome of the vote's going to be, but God was going to fulfill and accomplish his purposes. To be able to sit there last Sunday morning and to find out the percentage of those of you that had voted for us and for the future of this church, it was just like a thunderous confirmation in our heart that we're on the right track. Like, this is God's will. This is God's call. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Wednesday night, we had the opportunity to share with the students about the vote, about the election, and that we were elected to be the next pastors of CCC upon Pastor Joel and Donna's retirement. And I didn't know what the reaction was going to be because, sure, there were a number that were in the service, but we have a number of students that don't have parents that attend this church that we're reaching out to. And whenever I announced that, the students stood up and started cheering, just standing ovation for what God was doing. And it was so cool to me because, I mean, I could take it one of two ways. One is they're like, finally, Pastor Keith is getting out of here. That's about time. They've been having secret prayer meetings. God, please, please. Or I could take it a different way, and this is really what was happening, is that they are excited. God has been stirring up in them a readiness and excitement for the future and thrive in that student ministry and for the future of this church. And so coming out of not just Wednesday night, but coming out of Sunday, our hearts are just full of joy and peace. We know God's in this, and we're just thankful to you for your support, your encouragement, and the excitement that we sense from so many of you last Sunday and even since then throughout this week. Thank you. We're excited, and we believe that so many are excited about the future of what God's going to do.
So Bill Clarkson called me last Monday night about dinner time. And he said, well, tell me about Sunday. So I did. We got all finished, and he said, so what is Pastor Keith's title now? I said, Bill, I haven't even given that an ounce of thought. You all know, I have done my best in 30 years to downplay titles around this place. Mm-hmm. Titles, for the most part, are a secular man thing designed to bring about division among you. You got to remember that. Don't clamor after some title. I said, I suppose he's like the Donald. He is the pastor elect or whatever. I don't know.
Perfect time for Donald Trump impersonation, but I just don't have one right now. I'm at a loss.
But we're all waiting for you to invite us over to your palace so we can be interviewed.
The tower.
Can I make a recommendation? Starting today, with not caring about titles, starting today, call him Pastor Keith. I'm serious. Don't yell down the hall, hey you! The next pastor of, call him Pastor Keith. Why? It'll be a whole lot easier for you to call him Pastor Keith 5 months from now if you start now. Because it's going to take you a little while to ramp up to that. So it doesn't offend me when you call him Pastor Keith and say to me, "Hey, you, down the hall." Okay? We do have a text for today. This is a very important passage of Scripture in relationship to this process. You don't even have to turn to it. Just look at it. Hebrews 5. Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and who are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as for the sins of the people. No one takes this honor upon himself. He must be called by God, just as Aaron was. About 4 days before our April 15th, our final interview with the church board and a vote being cast by the church board, the Lord led me to this passage of Scripture. I knew it was for this transition. I knew it was for this time. And I weaved it into the final evening of our interview. The actual account of this took place in Exodus 28 and 29. But the writer to the Hebrews summarizes for us how this happens. Now I'm going to give you two things that happen, and I want you to see very clearly it comes from this passage of Scripture. This passage of Scripture tells us that men select and appoint, but only God calls. If you said to anybody this week, "Well, we had a business meeting at our church last Sunday, and we called a new pastor." No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Neither did this church call me to pastor 31 years ago. That's God's job, not our job. What this passage says is that you and I have the opportunity to select and appoint. But God is the one that calls. So, on the night of April 15th, Keith and Lacey went downstairs to our basement while the church board talked a little bit and voted. I've already told you, there were 16 of us present, 7 board members and their wives, and Donna and I. That's 16 votes. And the vote was 16-0 in favor of making them the candidate. They then came back up, sat back down in front of the fireplace. Many of you have been in our home. You can picture this, the room full, and they're sitting in front of the fireplace looking out to the room. And I said, "Before we tell you the outcome of the vote, I got one more question I want to ask you." This is the most important of all questions. Understand, Keith didn't know, Lacey didn't know what these questions were. The last question, the most important question I asked on that night was, "Keith, are you called by God to assume the pastorate of CCC?" I can tell you something. Had his answer been, "I don't know," there would have been no offer made that night. Men select and appoint. God calls. I wish y'all could have been there. Keith kind of leaned forward like this, put his elbows on his knees, and looked down at the floor. And he said, with humility, "I say yes." That had to come from him and God working this out. Not us saying, "We have called you." And you all know that we had a scribe there taking notes. And this is what the scribe said about this moment in time. When I read it over again, it's almost like a writing from out of the New Testament. Here's what Pastor Lynn typed for us. It was a holy moment with many tears of thankfulness shed as Tom Campbell told Keith and Lacey the results of the vote, 16-0. The presence of the Lord was so rich, all in attendance began to speak praise and thanks to God for his incredible provision for CCC. I pray that you as a congregation will always remember this. Your new pastors, Keith and Lacey, have been chosen by you, but called by God. You must remember that. You didn't pick them. Because if you picked them and things didn't go the way you wanted to do, you could unpick them. That's a horrible way of saying that. But you know what I'm trying to get across. I want you to know you can't unpick them because they've been called by God. You want to share about that?
Yes. To make that statement that we believe God has called us to be the next pastors of CCC, it's a very weighty statement. And when you consider the phenomenal leadership that Pastor Joel and Donna have given, the church board, and then all of you with your heart for God and what God's doing through you around the world, this church is known. This is the real deal. And so to make a statement like that, it is a weighty statement. How many of you wish that God would just speak to you continually in an audible voice?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't that be great? Like, it's time to get up. Okay.
All I know is it would sound like Donna to me. That's what it would.
And although we wish it would be an audible voice sometimes, most of the time God does not work like that. And I would say for many of us, it hasn't happened where God works like that. And so for me to make a statement like that, it's the culmination, the combination of several components that I believe God has been working in my life to come to that place. The first would be the initial call that I received. I remember being in seventh grade and coming down to the altar for a normal Sunday evening prayer time. I don't remember what the altar call was. It was like, let's just come and spend time in prayer. My dad was the pastor, and he was a pastor, so he said, pray. I'm like, all right, I got to pray. It's my dad. No, he would call people to come forward in prayer. We would come forward and pray. And I remember being in a church in Indiana. It wasn't this church, and I was on this pew right over here, kneeling down, and I was just seeking the Lord. It's a Sunday night, seeking the Lord, and I don't remember what my prayers were. No idea. All I know is that evening, the Lord called me to the ministry. And it was so definite and so strong and so real in my heart that I couldn't deny it. And it's hard to describe. It's hard to describe, you know, using our logical, linear left brains. It was just a God thing where I knew in my spirit, in my heart, that God was calling me to the ministry. Did I know what it was going to look like? Did I know what I was going to do, where I would go? No clue. No idea. That began a journey for me of the next number of years of saying, God, please tell me what's next. You know, please tell me what you would have me to do, where you'd have me to go so that I could prepare. Well, that's what God put into my heart. I remember going home that evening and talking to my parents about that, and they were so supportive. I'm so thankful that I could be a kid praying and receiving something from God and having parents that affirmed it. They didn't know the details either, but yes, that's awesome. Let's pray what God wants to do through you. That was our initial call, and my initial call, and that followed me, that stayed with me throughout my teenage years, going into college, coming out of college, to where I found that as doors opened, God was always faithful to lead us where he wanted us to go, and that the faithfulness of God led us to Missouri in ministry, and then to France, and then to West Africa, and then to Indiana, and then 7.5 years ago here to Midland to be with all of you.
Wow, my journey went from Minnesota to Michigan. Man, I feel like I've done nothing.
And so we went on that journey just with the foundation of that initial call. The second part for me was the internal work of the Holy Spirit. And aren't you thankful for the work of the Spirit in our lives?
Yes.
We have not arrived. God is still doing a work. Philippians 2, I love it. It says, for it is God who works in us to will and to act according to his good pleasure. I mean, we are all at his beck and call.
It's true.
He calls the shots. We serve at his pleasure. And for me, during these last 4 years, God has been doing an internal work in me of getting me to a place of surrender, getting me to a place of willingness, getting me to a place of trust, getting me to a place of peace, getting me to a place of excitement for what God is wanting to do. The internal work, and then we have experienced over the last 4 years, confirmations. Look for those confirmations. Where? Well, the Word of God. So many times as we're in the Word, God is speaking to us about this process and about the future. So many times other people would have a word that they read and text it to us or share it with us or in a meeting. This is what God's speaking. And the combination of all those is just such a confirmation in our heart. The confirmation of spiritual authority in our lives, of Pastor Joel and Donna. Confirmation of the amazing church board, fasting and praying, seeking God, and their unanimous vote. And then all the way to November 13th last week, the confirmation of all of you, God seekers who want to do his will above all else, to have that strong of a vote was another confirmation, a thunderous confirmation in our hearts. And we come through all of that, the stirring that God has put in our heart, the excitement for the future, and we can say that we believe God has called us to CCC for such a time as this.
That's a really good point. You know, so many of us can come out of a prayer time and say, well, God's called me to do this, that, or the other thing. People make some major mistakes when they run off a day or two after and start to do that. If God has called you, he will give you along the way confirmations that will confirm what that original thing was. And you need to be looking for those. You need to really want those in your life. Because maybe he did call you. And maybe you had too much pizza.
Which we do like pizza, don't we?
We do like pizza. We do like pizza. I wanna thank all of you for walking through this 8-week journey with us. We took 3 weeks off for Missions Month, and other than that, that's been the theme of this pulpit for 2 months, transition. You might say, yeah, sure, I'm glad we're over with it. Listen. I had the responsibility of bringing 1,000 people through this. And when the day is done, we'd all be together. And you don't do that in one Sunday and one message and one prayer. It doesn't happen that way. Mm-hmm. But I promise you, after today, I don't think you'll hear the term from me again. We're done. This is the culmination. But I want to talk to you about going forward. Even though we publicly have put to rest the transition, that does not mean that we will not be working hard in transition. What I'm trying to say is, because we're not going to be talking about it in the next 5 months, doesn't mean that a lot of things are happening. We have set aside 5 months for this transition. And I know someone could quickly say, I just don't understand that. If he's supposed to be the new pastor and he's heard from God, just why don't you move on, pastor, in January 1? Sounds like a good time. Let's start then. My first response to you would be, why are we doing it this way? Because this is the way God gave it to us to do. And that came out of 3 years of praying over it. Not one time. Let me be honest with you. Donna and I have never once given an ounce of consideration as to when this would best fit our calendar. If we would have been considering that, we'd be in Southwest Florida this morning. People in the northern tier of states don't retire April 30th. That's stupidity. I have chosen 5 months down the road for two reasons. Number one, it gives us time to properly bring to closure 31 years of involvement and relationships. Secondly, it gives us time to properly introduce Pastor Keith to the inner workings of the senior pastor of this church. Allow me to explain. You might see my job as once a week teaching you for 30 to 40 minutes. 50. That does not sound like the voice of God, let me tell you right now. My job in details study and prayer and preparation of messages. My job in details administrating and overseeing all the ministries of this church. Staffing at the pastoral level. Total financial oversight. So thankful for our church treasurer. So thankful for our bookkeeper and to the board. But the person who gives total oversight to the finances of this church sits here and will sit there. That's oversight to over $3 million of God's money. That's serious. That's very serious, in my books at least. Of course, I'm president of the corporation, which means we have monthly board meetings, annual business meetings, which you must prepare for, pastoral responsibilities like funerals, weddings, dedications, baptisms, some counseling, but not very much. The calendar year for the church is weighted heavily over the next 5 months. Allow me to explain. The 6 months are not equal in the calendar year of the church. Over the next 5 months, we will deal with annual budgets, we'll deal with salary reviews, we'll deal with end-of-the-year bonus considerations, we'll deal with church board nominations, we'll deal with an annual business meeting. I propose to the church board that for a seamless transition, we go through this cycle side by side. And they all agreed to that. You want to respond to that?
Yes. You know, I wanted to be clear that I'm not yet the senior pastor. And I think that we all understand that he is planning to retire April 30th. And until then, he is the senior pastor. And, you know, use the term pastor-elect. You don't have to call me that. Hey, pastor-elect.
We'll just call you Donald. We'll just call you Donald, okay?
Come on now. But since he is still the senior pastor until April 30th, I just want to remind everyone that all the big problems still go there in the next 5 months.
That's it. I'm done.
We want to bless them.
Thank you.
Well, you know, in all honesty, I am really, really looking forward to the next 5 months of working alongside Pastor Joel and learning from him. You know, truthfully, we've been meeting together almost on a weekly basis and many times for multiple hours as we're talking through what's happening in the church and what's happening in your lives, and we're talking through ministries and future and past as well. And he has been so gracious to answer my questions and give me insight into 30 years of leadership and 30 years of experience and of victories in this place. Because I want to know. I want to understand the past. I want to understand where we've come from, which can give us the foundation for the future. And so I, for one, am looking forward to having this opportunity. And I think I'd be crazy not to. I'd be crazy not to want to go through a mentoring and learning and growth opportunity like this. Proverbs chapter 20 says that plans succeed through good counsel. And I want good counsel. And so I think it's important for us to remember that Pastor Joel and Donna don't have to do this. A lot of pastors, when they're retiring or resigning for, you know, various reasons, leave. Might be 2 weeks or a month, and then they're needing to leave, or they want to leave, or however that might work in their life. He does not have to do this, but he's doing this as a gift to all of us, because he is so thankful to God for the past. But as we've had many, many conversations, He and Donna are so excited about the future. He believes in the future.
Yes.
He wants to be a part of that by pouring into me and all of us over the next 5 months. You know, as I read scriptures, I see that Joshua had Moses, Elisha had Elijah, Timothy had Paul, and Lacey and I are truly blessed to have Pastor Joel and Donna.
Thank you. I'm glad you affirmed us like that, because the next section of this message won't make me popular with you. But you got to understand something. I have never once in the last 31 years felt myself to be in any kind of a popularity contest. I want to be candid with you about that. I've never made decisions thinking, well, if I make it this way, then I'll be popular with the congregation, and if I don't, I won't. That, I got to be honest with you. That concept, that thinking, has never crossed our minds. How could it not, Pastor? Here's how it could not. When we step into eternity someday, I am not going to have to give an account to any of you for how I did this job. But I am going to have to give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand that very clearly. And so as a result, I've got to be popular with him, but I never make decisions to be popular with you. If I am, fine. If I'm not, that's fine too. I want to talk about our great pastoral staff. I love all of our pastors. Do you?
Yes. Amen.
Let's share. Please understand, all of your existing pastoral staff have come to you through Joel and Donna Stocker. You got to understand how this works here. The congregation does not select pastoral staff members. The church board does not select pastoral staff members. The existing pastoral staff does not select pastors. You've got to get in that groove. See, somehow we move along and we think, well, yeah, we got a really good pastoral staff that we picked out. You didn't pick them out. They were brought to you by Joel and Donna Stocker. And in the future, this will be Pastor Keith and Lacey's responsibility. The senior pastor selects the pastoral staff at this church. I know, some churches do it different. They have a committee to find a youth pastor, and this committee goes out, the laity committee goes out and finds the youth pastor. There's one large church in our city, they find all their pastors that way. We don't. So if you're thinking that's the way it works, it doesn't work that way. The senior pastor selects the pastoral staff, they become his team that oversees the ministries of the church, and they report directly to him. The senior pastor must be able to both structure and develop the staff in a way that best aids his vision for the church. Now, what does this mean to us? This means that there's the possibility that 3 years from now, the pastors that are on staff here could still all be on staff here. That's a possibility. Or it could mean 3 years from now, one or two of them might not be on the pastoral staff any longer, and there might be others that have taken their place, or their place might not exist any longer. It could mean that 3 years from now, there would be a whole new pastoral staff here. Whatever this means, you must trust Pastor Keith in this area. Our history shows us how this works. I was called to pastor this church in June of 86. In an information meeting in the fellowship hall, I was asked, the congregation was small, there must have been 60 people there, 70 people there, and I was asked if this church would have, under my leadership, would have a Christian ed pastor. This church was very proud of their Sunday morning Sunday school program, and this church had a full-time Christian ed pastor. I had assessed the structure and said, this church doesn't need a full-time Christian ed pastor. And I knew when I said that night in that interview, potentially I had totally destroyed any possibility I ever have of being the pastor of this church. But I thought, hey, get it out now. I said, no, under my leadership, we'll not have a Christian ed pastor. Well, then what are we going to do with our Sunday school? I said, really quite simple. I'm going to bring a new position in that this church hadn't even heard about at that point in time, called a children's pastor. Now, to you and I, we know all about that because we've lived with it for years. But 31 years ago, it was not here. And it was only in a few churches in America. That's very true. I said, no, we won't have a Christian ed pastor. I'm bringing a children's pastor in, and he'll be responsible for birth through sixth grade. I'll bring a youth pastor in. He'll be responsible for seventh through 12th grade, and I'll take care of the adults. Total change in structure. In the month of September of that year, stand, please, Kurt. This gentleman came to our pastoral staff as full-time children's pastor. No, it started part-time, and then it went to full-time. Because I didn't have enough money to pay anybody anything back then. Come work for cheese, and you believed in me. Well, I believed in you. How many? How many years did you serve as our children's pastor?
16 years.
Wow. And here, 15 years later, he's still in this church. Come on, give him an applause. That change happened in the first 2.5 months that we were here. And then we made another huge change only 9 months after we were here. A change that we are still impacted to this day. The church had a good music program. Mitzi Nimmo was our music pastor. Would you stand, please, Mitzi? Mitzi served this church in a number of capacities, but at that point in time, she was our music pastor. And in those first 9 months that we were here, I watched very carefully and listened and tried to discern the Spirit, and this church had an organist that every time I saw him and saw what he was doing, I saw nothing but giftings and anointing in that area. Pastor Leon, would you stand, please? So, in the spring of 87, I went to this dear lady, and I said, would you slide over to a new position that I am creating that we didn't have prior to that time? But I knew I wanted the people that I pastored to be cared for. And I knew she had the wherewithal to do that better than anybody. And so she slid over, left the music department, and became the greatest care pastor a church could ever have, served under my leadership for 18 years, and had served before that in the church for a while. Pastor Leon, stepped in. I'll tell you something we've never made public till now. She gave him her salary and started working for nothing because she believed in her pastor and she believed that I was hearing from God for the future of this congregation. And of course, I make a lot of fun with Leon, but we love the daylights out of him. But I want you to understand. No, just wait. I want you to understand. There had to be some movements to make that happen. Mm-hmm. Happened right here. 9 months after I came to pastor this church. Would you give an appreciation to both of you? I fully understand that this becomes a very emotionally charged subject. Why? We love our pastors, all of them. But I must say it clearly, the future of Christian Celebration Center will be crippled if the senior pastor is not given the opportunity to structure and staff in a manner that supports his vision. The church board is very supportive of this position and will follow my directive that if any pastoral changes are made after our exit, that those exits will be handled very appropriately and in the spirit of generosity. Everybody say, I still love you, Pastor.
I still love you, Pastor.
That was kind of muddled and weak, okay? You just gotta trust me on this one. Neither you, nor the church board, nor I have any business thinking we know more about the pastor in staffing for the future. The pastor will staff this church for a very successful future.
Well, we all agree that the ministries of this church are led by extraordinary pastors. We all get that. And as I said in September, it took me about an hour, I think, in my first staff meeting with all of them to get that I was surrounded by very gifted, called, anointed, inspiring leaders. And I know that through the last 7.5 years, I have learned some things from every single one of them. Every single one of them. And Lacey and I love them. And from the bottom of our heart, we love these pastoral staff members. We love what they are doing to further God's kingdom, how they're caring for all of you. And in the future, there could be structural changes if that's how the Lord leads to expand and enhance what we're doing. But as we see these pastoral staff members right now, we see them with love and we see the effectiveness of their ministries. It's exciting. There will be, though, one definite pastoral change that will be taking place in the near future. And that is because I will be leaving the student ministry. And so we, for those of you that know us, love this student ministry. We've poured our heart and soul into it for 7.5 years. We love the leadership team that we have. They're the best. And so we have had given to us, since it was a long process, working with Pastor Joel and Don on the church board, a lot of time to pray and to process and to seek God's will on who he might have as a ministry couple to follow Lacey and I in ministry in the student ministry.
Is it Donna and I?
Well, we could...
Oh, it's Donna, not me. Okay.
We could set up a vote this Wednesday night with the students.
I don't think I'd get 2/3, okay?
I bet you would. Well, this student ministry obviously is important to us for a lot of reasons. One is just that we have two of our own kids. And all of you parents know that when your kids are involved in something, suddenly you're very much interested in how it's being led and operated. We have another one that's going to be there soon. Don't even want to think about that. I'll cry. But this is the stage of life that we're in, and we think about all these students and families that we have loved and poured into. We want the absolute best. And so as we've been seeking the Lord for the last couple years about this, we have just been observing diligently several youth pastors from around the nation, several top-notch youth pastors in Michigan, and even some that have come out of CCC. And it has been a joy to us, but also that responsibility is like, God, use us in this. We want the absolute best for these students and their families. On April 15th, as Pastor Joel shared a few moments ago, the church board unanimously asked us to be the nominee that they would then present to the church. And later that evening, Lacey and I said yes with peace in our hearts. And so 2 weeks later, we began an interview process with a ministry couple. And in our search and in our careful observation of the last couple years, there was one ministry couple that just seemed to continually rise above. In our times of prayer, in our times of observation, and they just continued to rise above. And so we began that process 2 weeks later. And you're like, well, why did you begin it so early? Well, here's the thing. We believe strongly in the process that Pastor Joel would like to lead us through over the next 5 months. And for that to happen, we needed to have a youth pastor couple in place, hopefully at the beginning of January, so that this transition process of working alongside Pastor Joel could actually work.
Yeah.
And so we diligently started 2 weeks after the board vote, went on a six-month interview process with this couple. And we were so excited as we did Pastor Joel-esque interviews. We made them really long throughout the 6 months, and we're able to really get into the heart and soul of their vision and their heart and just trying to discern, is this the right fit for Christian Celebration Center for Thrive Student Ministries? Throughout the course of those 6 months, this ministry couple had time to interact with our current pastoral staff in a question and answer format and a prayer time together over at our house. It was just such a great afternoon. And then several weeks later, this ministry couple spent an evening with our church board for a church board interview. And the church board was so excited at the end of this interview from their interaction, as we've all been praying for God's will. And at the end of the interview and our time with the church board, they ratified this choice to bring this couple on as our next youth pastors at CCC, contingent on the church vote. And that's really, really important. There was nothing official until the church vote happened last Sunday. And so last Sunday afternoon, after the church vote was official, I was able to pick up the phone and call this ministry couple, and I would like to give you their name. They're not here this morning, but I'd like to give you their names for you all to know that the next youth pastors at Christian Celebration Center are Carl and Mandy Soria.
That was a louder and longer response than when they clapped for you, you know?
Well, for those of you that don't know Carl Mandy, you'll get why the people that do know them are clapping. The call of God is on their life. They have such a heart for God. It's so fresh. It's so real. I can't wait for them to be around our students, as we have observed them in several situations in the last 4 years. But prior to that, they accepted the Lord and they came from Midland, were part of this church. They actually were baptized in the very first CCC outdoor water baptism. They were part of that afternoon. Wow. As they publicly confessed that Jesus Christ was their Lord and Savior. From there, the Lord has been taking them on a phenomenal journey. I know that Lacey and I, when we came 7.5 years ago, noticed them, and they just seemed to rise to the top, and just their heart, and soon after, they experienced a full-time call to ministry. They began to take ministry classes. They did internships with us. They were involved heavily in the ministry, and then 4 years ago, they left their jobs here in this area in order to accept a full-time position as youth pastor at Greater Lansing Assembly of God. And they've been there for 4 years, faithfully serving, doing a phenomenal job, reaching students and blessing that church and that ministry. We are excited about what this is going to look like and thrive. as this student ministry, without a doubt, is going to go to the next level. And so I ask you that you will be praying for them. Our goal is for them to transition and be able to begin the 1st of January. And at that time, Elise and I would have the privilege of passing the baton on to them with all the students and leaders surrounding us. And it is something that we are very, very excited about. Also pray for the students and the leadership team of Thrive. They are the best. And in bringing Carl and Mandy to this city, to this church, we believe that we're going to be giving them the absolute best. Thank you.
I want you to understand the immense amount of labor and work behind the scenes to what has just been shared in the last 5 to 7 minutes with you. Months and months and months of multiple interviews, prayer times, strategizing, working things out. I've always said when we have a slot in our pastoral staff that needs to be filled, then we got to go to work. And work it is if you're going to do it right. Mm-hmm. It's immense amount of work. And I just want to say to both you and your wife, on behalf of this whole people, thank you for your labor of love. Because during this whole time, he was thinking about all this transition business and still pastoring an ongoing youth group where nothing slacked off or left or anything like that, missions trips and everything else. And on top of all of that, they were searching for their replacement. And I just, on behalf of this people, I want to say thank you to both of you for your labor of love. Let's show our appreciation of the goodness.
Thank you.
Under new leadership, changes of both format and ministries should be expected and honestly welcomed. I think if this church looks the same 5 years from now as it does now, something went wrong. Now, don't think for even a moment that there will be foundational changes. And I don't have the time, but I have a transcript of their interview on April 15th where they were asked pointed questions by the board about every one of these areas. The preached word. I remember 7.5 years ago on a Saturday morning, you sent me 4 CDs about messages that you'd preached in Indiana. On a Saturday morning, I sat down in our kitchen with my feet up on the table. I'm not supposed to tell you I do that. With my feet up on the table, and I listened to those 4 messages straight all morning. When I finished, I walked back into the other part of our house, and I said to Donna, this dude can preach. I remember saying this to you. I could sit and listen to him all day. I'll tell you something. I'm not schmoozing you. I'm telling you the truth. You probably, in the long term, make a much better preacher than me. I'm glad nobody said amen right there. Let me tell you why. My labor of studying the Word, digging into the Word, putting the Word in a format so you could get it, was something that came in my adult life by just flat out working hard. This guy's knowledge of the Word of God, particularly the New Testament, surpasses mine by a gazillion miles. He wouldn't tell you, but at one point in time, he had memorized most of the New Testament. Okay, start in Matthew and just go to Revelation. I know he can't do that now, but the point is, it's there. It's been deposited in him. Thank you, Dad and Mom, for your... So you get ready, because this dude can flat out preach. There are other areas that are not going to change. He gave a tremendous answer about the praise and worship of our church. Led in humility. Led spirit-filled. Mm-hmm. On and on and on. Gifts of the Spirit. He wants gifts of the Spirit to be in operation, as we had today. The altar time. He believes in altar time. I've already had a conversation with him about this. I said, if I were to do it over again, well, why don't you? Because you can't teach old dogs new tricks, okay? Woof, woof. I've already said to him, if I had to do it over again, I would preach shorter and I would have, after every service, extended altar time. He believes in altar. Missions. He has said the leadership of our missions program is stellar. All of that is recorded in these interviews. That's why I can say before you, hey, on these major foundational pieces, they're not changing. But other things are subject to change. Like what? Like schedules. Like style. Like offered ministries. Like outreaches. Allow me to give you several changes I made over the years as examples of this kind. We will experience this coming Wednesday night and again Christmas Eve. When we came to pastor this church, there was no Thanksgiving Eve service. I never understood that. I never understood why pastors who had a midweek service would cancel it on Thanksgiving Eve. It's Wednesday night. It's always Wednesday night. Christmas Eve. This week, on Wednesday night, this auditorium will be pleasantly filled with families giving thanks to God.
Amen.
It was a change. Christmas Eve, the same thing. After I came here just a few months, I went to Mitzi and I talked with her about the passion play idea. Because at our church in Minneapolis, we had a passion play that was as strong as our Christmas outreach. And for 25 years, Leon, 25 years we did the passion play. Now, it's okay that we don't do it now, but it was a change that we instituted. Missions. I told you the story. Prior to our coming here, the church didn't have a missions program. This year, over $700,000 to missions, and well over 100 of you involved in missions. We moved Christian education to Wednesday night. We stopped Sunday night services. Praise the Lord. I know, some of you are thinking, he's not very spiritual. I told you, I don't do this job as a popularity contest. Pastor Leon had people here from 3, 3:30, getting ready for singing Christmas Tree and Passion Play. And when it came time for 6 o'clock church, they would duck out the back door so they didn't meet the pastor coming in for the service. And I thought to myself, if I was one of them, I'd be ducking out the back door too. I remember Dick Armstrong. Dick, where are you at? Dick Armstrong in a board meeting, when I brought the idea of Sunday night service, canceling it, changing it, he sat in the board meeting and he said, took his glasses and he went like this. You know you're in serious trouble in a board meeting when a board member does this. Dick Armstrong said, I just got one thing to say. Why'd it take so long to make this change? I love you, buddy. You were a good board member. You're a tremendous board member. And name change. I just want to give you a warning, and I want all of you to hear this. Often change means some things must be dropped. And that's where the rub comes. The rub comes, but that's my ministry and I've done it for 30 years. But if the pastor says it would be better that we set that aside and do something in its place, you have to accept that. Because long term, it's best for the church. It doesn't stroke your ego, but the church doesn't exist to stroke your ego. The church exists to magnify Jesus and draw Amen. People to Jesus. That's the reason the church exists. So I want to repeat it. In the future, some things will be dropped. Accept it. I ask you to please eliminate from your vocabulary two statements. Number one, we've never done it like that before. And number two, after April 30th, never let it be said one time. But Pastor Joel did it this way. It doesn't count. It doesn't matter. This isn't Pastor Joel's church. This is the Lord Jesus Christ's church. I'm serious about that. After April 30th, if anybody ever comes up to you and says, but when Pastor Joel was here, we did it that way. You just say to him, he said, we can't talk like that. He said, we can't talk like that. Because I'm really serious about that one. That sentence alone can bring more division in this church. And remember, we want unity, not division.
Well, Pastor, I just want to say I appreciate so much sharing about change that's happened over the last 30 years in your leadership. And it's obvious to all of us that you and Donna are so committed to this being a healthy, seamless transition, so committed to a foundation being laid for the future. Change can be a volatile word, whether it's in a family or more so, as we're speaking this morning about a church family. It can be a volatile word, but I guess I just want to say that change cannot be and cannot ever be the enemy of any church.
That's good.
It just can't be. The reality is that our world is changing at a faster pace than I think that we've ever experienced before. And we get that Christ's mission doesn't change, but methods can. In other words, God's heart for people doesn't change. His heart, as you heard in the word earlier, even if everything else does change, his heart for people, his love for people does not change. The word of God does not change. The principles of Scripture, the foundation of Scripture, it does not change and will never change. But the formats, ways of doing ministry can change if we are wanting to be connecting and relevant with a changing society. Now, is it the desire of leadership to go in and change everything? Absolutely not. That'd be crazy. Why? Because there's so much health in this place. And somebody said, well, what are all of your plans? Well, I heard an old adage which said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. And we, as leadership, we, as church board, pastoral staff, ministry leaders, we want to hear from God and we want to move forward in what he has because we want to be effective. We want to be people that advance the kingdom of God. As I look back and read about Joshua and the transition of leadership that he had from Moses to being the leader of Israel, I realize that at the end of Moses' leadership time, God began to give him instructions. God began to give him instructions. Now then, those are the first words, go and do this and do this and I'll be with you and don't be discouraged, don't be afraid, I will be with you. But I understand as I read Scripture that Joshua had a deep and a rich comprehension of the past. And you read that in his leadership, how he understood the past. And that is our desire in moving forward, is to honor the past, to truly understand and honor the past, to build on the present. So much health and so many things that God is doing in our lives and through our lives and through this church. We want to build on that, continue to move forward in that, and then together to believe God for the future because he's able to do more than we could ask or imagine. And we're excited about all that God wants to do. And here's the thing. We stay dependent on him. We can bank on the fact that he's going to lead us and guide us and grant us all the wisdom, grace, and mercy that we need in order to impact not just this area, but the rest of the world.
Thanks, Keith. We're just about finished, but I'd like you to stick with me because what I want to share with you right now might be the most important thing I share with you all morning. We're going to come down here so our wives can join us, please. In John chapter 3, John makes a statement that fits our situation to an absolute T. You remember, John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, was in the Jordan River. He was a weird guy. He wore weird clothes. He never shaved. He stunk. How do you know that, Pastor? You can't live in Israel and not bathe and not stink. It's that hot. And he's down there baptizing people in a baptism for repentance. And he makes some really strong statements. He says to Jesus, I'm not willing to untie your... I shouldn't be able to untie your shoes. And he basically says to Jesus, when Jesus comes out of the wilderness and says, baptize me, he says, no way, Jose. That's the Hispanic version of John 3. He says, no, Jesus, you should be baptizing me. And Jesus said, no, this has to be done to fulfill all righteousness. And in that conversation, John the Baptist says something that Miss Donna and I and Keith and Lacey want to leave with all of you. He says, he must become greater and I must become less. The King James Version says, he must increase, I must decrease. The Amplified says, he must grow more prominent and I must grow less so. But it's the message I want to leave with you. The message says, this is the assigned moment for him to move into the center while I slip off to the sidelines. There you have a description of our next 5 months at Christian Celebration Center. They must become greater. We must become less. They must increase. We must decrease. They must grow more prominent and we must grow less so. I like this last one. We have a 5-month window for them to move to the center while we slip off to the sidelines. I plead with you, let them move into the center. And I plead with you, let Donna and I slip off to the sidelines. That's my request of you. And I was thinking about closing this message today. I thought to myself, as you're watching this happen, you have front row seat to how this is all happening. I wonder how many people right now in this auditorium would say, Pastor Joel, Jesus needs to increase in my life and I need to decrease. I sat at a conference on Thursday of this week under a tremendous man of God, Jim Cimbalu, who pastors Brooklyn Tabernacle. For the first hour and a half, he talked to about 500 pastors about one thing. Give people Jesus. Don't give them this, that, and everything else. Just give people Jesus. And I know, in the last 8 weeks, we haven't done that. So you don't have to text somebody and say he didn't do that in the last. I get that, because we were in transition. And if Cimbalu goes through transition, he'll have to do the same. But we're getting back to starting right now. giving people Jesus in every service. How many of you would say, Pastor Joel, when I think about it, I need to decrease and Jesus needs to increase in my life, and I know it. Stand to your feet all over this auditorium. Stand to your feet. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes? I didn't expect that kind of response, but I believe you. Your hearts are transparent. I believe you. Let us all stand in the Lord's presence. How many that are standing right now would say, Pastor Joel, I've never asked Jesus to come into my heart and in my life. I'm not walking in a relationship with Jesus, but today I want to do that. I want him to come in and take control of my life. All over the main floor first. How many would say, Pastor, that's my desire to ask Jesus into my heart and life today. Raise your hand right now, all over the main floor. Up in the balcony. How many? How many? Lord, help all of us as we are now standing and saying, you must increase and we must decrease. Oh, Lord, may it be more than just a fancy something we say at the close of this service. May we really, really go out of here today saying, not only must we acknowledge that Joel and Donna must step aside and they must go to the center, Lord, you must come to the center of our lives and be everything we are. Lead us in this chorus, Leon.
Jesus,
sing it to the Lord.
Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore.
Oh, sing it out, church. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you.
You are the one our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you.
Oh,
how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore.
Oh, Jesus, love the Lord, say, I love Jesus out loud. I know you do. This coming Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we'll have our Thanksgiving Eve candlelight communion service. Title of the message, Thanksgiving Eve Tradition at CCC. I'm going to go back to the text, the first text I used from the first Thanksgiving Eve message 31 years ago. Developed a whole new message on it, and I will tell you this, it will be a strong evangelistic message. Bring family members, bring out of town guests that don't know Jesus. They will understand the gospel message and salvation, and they'll be given the opportunity to accept Jesus. Next Sunday morning, healthy homes. I want to talk to you about how you can have healthy homes, and then we'll move into a Christmas series. I do pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you, and the Lord would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. God would grant all of us his grace and his mercy and his understanding as together we complete this transition. Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a good day.